I would invite you to turn in your Bible this evening to Luke chapter 8, and we're going to focus especially on verse 15. Last week, we brought up the question, what kind of fruit are you bearing? The main principle we focused on was that a tree is known by its fruit, as we glean from the passage of Scripture in Matthew that we were looking at. In other words, if the fruit is bad, then the tree is revealed as being bad. If the fruit is good, then the tree is revealed as being good. The illustration of bad and good trees, of course, refer to unsaved individuals versus saved individuals, respectively. Last week, after bringing it up in passing, I forgot to explain the fine differences between the two Greek words for bad and the two Greek words for good in the passages we studied. How many of you noticed that? All right, okay. You're listening. I kind of skimmed over that. So I'm going to take care of that right now so that your curiosity can be quenched there. All right, so Matthew chapter 7, passage we were looking at, in verses 15 through 18, the Lord Jesus says this, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good agathos tree bears good kalos fruit, but the bad sapros tree bears bad poneros fruit." Notice there's two different Greek words for good and two different Greek words for bad. Verse 18, a good agathos tree cannot produce bad poneros fruit, nor can a bad sapros tree produce good kalos fruit. So now that you've heard those four Greek words, in case you're curious as I was, poneros refers in this context to bad in nature, whereas sapros refers to rotten, putrid, of poor quality, bad, unfit for use, worthless, all the above. Okay, that's all the general meanings of that particular Greek word. As far as the two words for good, agathos in this context refers to being of a good constitution or nature, upright, honorable. Whereas kalos refers to being sound, healthy, whole, good, useful, beautiful, excellent, pleasing. Wow, lots of different slight connotation differences. But that's the four Greek words. And you can see how there's a fine difference. Despite all that fine difference in meaning of these two pairs of Greek words, it really is best to just translate it as good and bad. Interesting, that's what the translators did, and they did a good job there, because in the context of the passages, the good tree refers to a saved person and the bad tree refers to an unsaved person. Yes, you can get into some of the fine meaning and draw an application there, but that's really not the purpose tonight of this message. So the first principle we focused on last week was that a tree is known by its fruit. The second principle we touched on last week was that if you are saved, in other words, you are a good tree, then your purpose is to bear good fruit. I'd like to continue that thought and build on those two principles by the two main thoughts we'll cover this evening. First thought, God expects us to bear fruit. And number two, we need to exercise perseverance in the process of bearing good fruit. Simple truths, but they really are very important. Luke chapter 8, verse 15, our text for this evening. I'm also going to look at Ephesians 5, verse 9. So Luke chapter 8, verse 15, the Lord Jesus is speaking here. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. And then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The first important truth we need to understand and apply personally to our lives is that God expects us to bear fruit. Having said that, first of all, it's important to know that we are not the ones who can actually produce the fruit. Before you get upset and say, well, then why is he expecting me to produce fruit if I can't do it? Hang in there. Okay, listen a little bit longer. That is something the Holy Spirit produces in you as you cooperate with him. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Interesting list there. Very important and would bear memorizing, actually, and then letting God apply that in your heart. The key to all this is submitting to the Holy Spirit's working in your heart and life. He uses testings and trials in your life, and he uses the word of God to bring about this change in your views, in your thinking, and in your desires. Obviously, through his word, he helps us to understand the truths and understand what he's wanting to change in us. It's interesting, when our children were very small, I taught them they call it grade primary in Nova Scotia, K-5, all right, and grade 1. And I taught all four of our children those two grades. I did this for a particular reason. Number one, I wanted them to be grounded in English so that they could actually read and they could actually get a foundation for grammar and so forth. I did not trust the school system. They basically used the see and say kind of method of teaching, and I wanted to give them some rules of phonics, some helpful constructs there that would help them in their later schooling. I also wanted to make sure that they were grounded in a biblical philosophy of life. I knew that they would be thrown into an unsaved background. The public school system obviously is not going to teach anything Christian. Most, if not all, of the teachers would be unsaved, so their philosophy inevitably comes out in their words or conversation, even though they're not intending to, it just comes. Who you are will just come out. And therefore, I wanted to prepare them and help them to understand that the teachers were there to teach them math and or arithmetic, I guess, in elementary school, and English, but be careful when they start teaching you about science, because they've got a wrong philosophy of evolution rather than creation. So I was teaching them all these things, preparing them for school. And this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us, is to make sure that our thinking is biblical. And he takes his word and he changes our thinking to bring it in line with God's thinking. And that's why the word of God is so important. And you say, well, then where do the trials and testings come in? Why do we need those? Well, in school, anybody ever take a test? Yep. And what is the purpose of tests? To give stress to the students? No, actually, it's to find out if they picked up everything that's being taught. And God will do that too. He'll put you through trials and testings to see whether you're applying the truth that you've been learning from reading his word and hearing it preached. So let me just read that list again and see what God wants to change in us to put into our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, and that's agape love, that's sacrificial, selfless love, that giving love. Reason for that, in the King James translators, they sometimes use the word charity. Today, we just think of charity as giving, but that was part of the meaning of the word agape. It was a giving sacrificial, selfless love. So you can't blame the King James translators for using charity. However, charity, if you read it today, it sort of just has the idea of giving something to someone who comes to the door, you know, or somebody who calls you on the phone. So I stick with love, all right? So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. By the way, people have different personality types. I'm a grinner, okay? I was born happy, all right? Just, you can see a picture of me as a little kid, and I've got this grin on my face. I look at my brother, he does not, okay? it sort of stuck the rest of the life. However, even though technically I'm happy, as someone who was not yet saved, I was like this, you know, just ups and downs, you know, just a roller coaster emotionally. I'm very emotional. I think it's because I grew up in Chile. Okay. So I'm very Latino. That's it. Yeah. Circuladi. Okay. The point is, after I trusted Christ as Savior, instead of this kind of stuff, the Lord just kept it even up here rather than down here. Okay. And so his Holy Spirit is doing that work. So it isn't because somehow I made my personality change. No, it's that God changed my personality. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. By the way, gentleness, the King James translates it meekness. And it's been defined as strength under control. So it's not someone who's a wimp and, you know, just can't do anything, but rather someone who could do a lot of damage, but he doesn't because he has that strength under control. When our little baby girl was born, Eileen, she looked like a Biafra kid. You probably don't know what that means because that was long ago. And do you remember Biafra, the starvation there in that country? Anyway, she looked like she was totally malnourished. She just was a skinny girl. And anyway, so she was like, it felt like 2 pounds, you know, when I was holding her. I have a picture of her. I'm driving a 67 Dodge Dart. And by the way, it only cost me $400. Okay. but that's all I got with it is a car with an engine and almost no seat. Anyway, here I am on a trip and I'm holding Eileen in my arm. No seatbelts. That was before seatbelt laws. You're probably going, you know, but there were no seatbelt laws. A whole lot fewer cars too. Okay. Any fewer accidents. But anyway, here I am holding her. And I was strong back then. Okay. And if I had just squeezed hard, I could have broken a rib. But you know what? I love that little girl. And I was gentle with her. So this is what this word means. Gentleness, strength under control. Okay. And of course we can, and the next one is self-control. We could really make a whole message or a series of messages on this, but I just want you to see God wants to change your personality, your character, to include the fruit of the Spirit, a work that he does. It's not something you work up, but it's something he does in you as you cooperate with him. So the key to all this then is submitting to the Holy Spirit's working in your heart and life. And then as you listen to his word, read it and listen to it preached, then he will change you day by day, week after week, month after month, as you cooperate with him. By the way, notice the shape. Well, we'll leave that for another message the next week. All right. In the Luke 8 lesson on fruit bearing, the Lord switches the metaphor from trees to soil. How many noticed that? How many are awake? Okay. All right. So he switched the metaphor from trees to soil. 4 different kinds of soil, actually, in that Luke 8 lesson. The kind of soil found in your heart will depend on your decision. You have a choice that you need to make. And if you don't make the right choice, it's not God's fault. It's whose fault? Your fault. Okay. So you need to make a decision to be that fruitful, receptive soil. You need to break up the fallow ground of your heart. How many have ever heard that expression? Break up the fallow ground. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3 says this, "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns." Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says this, "Sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you." So two different places in the Old Testament have this expression, break up the fallow ground. What is fallow ground? I remember hearing preachers quote these two verses and exhort us to break up our fallow ground. And I had a vague general idea of what was meant, but I wanted to get a better picture of what it meant. So let me share what I learned. Fallow ground refers to ground that has been plowed and readied for sowing, but then is ignored and allowed to lie useless and unproductive. Eventually, it gets hardened by being soaked by rain and then baked by the sun, especially as animals and people walk on it repeatedly. In other words, the Lord is saying, change your heart from carelessness and being sidetracked by useless things to a heart that is committed to fruit bearing. So if you fail to do this, God may, in his mercy and wisdom, bring circumstances to bear in your life to break up the fallow ground of your heart. In fact, he will also do this in the hearts of others in response to your prayers for them. If you're aware of a brother or sister in Christ whose heart seems to have much fallow ground, will you take the time to pray for them? But first, make sure your heart is prepared for fruit bearing. By the way, I don't advise going to that brother and saying, you know, I notice you got fallow ground in your heart, and I'm going to pray for you, brother. Not really helpful, all right? Now, it's not going to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. Do this in secret. Pray to the Lord, just you and the Lord, okay? And then you can see that God did it, and it'll be permanent. It'll be good. So not only does God expect us to bear fruit, God commands us to exercise perseverance in the process of bearing fruit. There are a lot of things that require the exercise of perseverance, and there's a measure of patience that is required to persevere. In my younger years, I used to run long distance, loved long distance. It was probably a bad idea since I had bad arches all the way since I was a two-year-old. And I won't go into all the things I had to wear on my feet to try to form an arch. But anyway, I love to run. I just got a real kick out of running. And when I ran long distance, you had to have perseverance because your body would be saying things like, are you an idiot? What are you doing running? It's hurting. Why don't you stop? So your body's saying all this while you're running, especially after the first 3 or 4 miles. And so you have to tell your body, sorry, not listening to you. I have a goal in mind. You have been training, so just be quiet and let me run. And so I'd do this back and forth. Yeah, okay, I was crazy, whatever. But anyway, perseverance. Fruit takes time to grow. Anybody ever grown fruit? Like you've got a tree and there's fruit, it's supposed to be a fruit tree, and you've seen it, you know, this little tiny green bud, and then it gets a little bigger and bigger and bigger, and eventually then it turns the right color, and you can pick it and eat it, okay? It doesn't grow overnight, does it? It doesn't grow even over 2 weeks. It takes months. So crops take time to grow before they can be harvested. So you need to have patience and not get upset or discouraged when you have made the decision to change your heart from carelessness and being sidetracked by useless things to a heart that is committed to fruit bearing. And yet, You don't see the expected fruit in your life yet. You'd like to see some instant change, wouldn't you? Don't you? Am I the only one? Okay. We want to see some change. And we want to hear other people say, hey, I see a change in you. Okay. Cricket, you know, that kind of thing. So there is the factor of the attitude or mindset of patience that is necessary in order to exercise perseverance. Perseverance includes faithfully doing the things that you can do each day to help the fruit to grow, even though you may not see the actual fruit yet. Watering, weeding, and removing hindrances like harmful bugs are things you do in physical farming. If you keep at these jobs daily, then the fruit or crops can grow safely to maturity. Spiritual fruit takes similar work, watering by daily reading the Word of God, weeding by removing hindrances to true fruit growing by confessing and forsaking sin and exchanging these for godly habits. Make up your mind that you will do whatever it takes to cooperate with God in bearing godly fruit in your life. It's a decision that you make. It's a choice that you make. Personal godliness and maturity, in other words, Christ-likeness, is not the only fruit that we are to bear spiritually. Winning souls to Christ is another area of fruit bearing that God wants us to cultivate as his children. We'll pursue this in the next message, Lord willing, but keep it in mind as you set your mind and heart to cooperate with the Holy Spirit as he produces the fruit of Christ-likeness in your life. So as I close this short message, thinking back to all that we've covered so far in the matter of spiritual fruit bearing, will you break up the fallow ground of your heart? Will you plow and prepare for planting the hard soil of your heart? Will you change your heart from carelessness and being sidetracked by useless things to a heart that is committed to fruit bearing? Will you then allow the Holy Spirit to implant his word in it and water it as you read the Bible daily and hear it preached regularly? Then will you make a conscious decision to persevere in bearing fruit by God's grace, by God's enablement? I am so thankful for the example of my parents. They've served the Lord all their lives. Before I was even born, they had committed themselves to serve the Lord as missionaries. And I appreciate the fact that even until recent years, when physically they just could not do anything anymore, my dad has Parkinson's, and he, after a while, could not walk anymore. And so he was bedridden for several years here. But until then, he kept working, kept laboring for the Lord. And I appreciate that example. And it reminds me, even when the pains of arthritis and other things get worse as I get older, hey, as long as I can walk and talk, you know, God can use me. And I will continue to persevere in bearing fruit. There's no retirement age for bearing fruit. You don't quit bearing fruit after a certain time. We need to bear fruit till we're in the ground, okay? And we need to help others to be encouraged to and know how to bear fruit. So I hope that this is an encouragement to you and that you'll keep these truths in mind and apply them in your heart and life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these passages of Scripture and the principles that we can glean from them and apply in our hearts and lives. Father, we understand that our Lord Jesus commanded us to bear fruit and commanded us to bear fruit with perseverance. I pray, Father, that we would remember the things that we learned this evening and apply it to our hearts and lives. May we most of all surrender our hearts and lives to you and allow you to have full control of our hearts and lives. And may we cooperate fully with what you are doing to transform us
to be more like our Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in Christ's precious name that we pray. Amen.